you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. The Large Hadron Collider resumed scientific operations yesterday after a three-year hiatus for repairs and upgrades. It opens up another front, you would say, in physicists' efforts to understand the building blocks of our universe. With the 3 years of maintenance, it enables the LHC to do different kinds of research and expand on that. Joining us to talk about what that means is physics reporter for Nature, Elizabeth Gibney. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being with us. Let's just go back and get a quick primer on what the Large Hadron Collider is designed to do.
Thanks for having me, Larry. So the Large Hadron Collider is an enormous particle smasher, and it's based underground in Geneva. It collides together protons, and it collides them at really high energy. And what happens then is you create a whole load of more high-energy particles that physicists can then study. And these are particles that wouldn't be created in everyday life. And this happens in the heart of detectors. And these detectors are able to piece back together, like detectives, what happened in those collisions and understand the behaviors and the interactions between these particles. And what through that, we're going to learn a bit more about, hopefully, the universe.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, so what are some of the questions that experiments with the collider are being designed to answer?
So there are some really big questions. We have this thing in particle physics called the Standard Model, which is amazing. It describes all of these particles and interactions so well from what we know of, but it also doesn't describe some really key things like dark matter, which from the way that galaxies move, we are pretty sure is out there. It also doesn't describe things like why the whole universe is made of matter and not this other thing called antimatter that people might have heard of when the two come together. And they annihilate. Now, the world is made of matter, but the Standard Model can't tell us why that would be. So there are some really enormous questions right now. And so far, every study that we've done in particle physics has just reinforced this Standard Model. The thing that the LHC can do by going to higher energies, by doing more and more collisions, so creating more rare collision, more rare decays of particles, we're going to be able to figure out, hopefully, what is not quite there in the Standard Model, what is missing and what new theories we need to go beyond it and to actually explain all of these really mysterious features.
And was the decision to shut down for 3 years for these upgrades driven by the fact that technology advanced to the point where just what you're describing, this kind of advanced work could be done that couldn't when the LHC opened?
Yeah, so the LHC opened in 2009, but physicists always know, I mean, part of physics is driving forward the technology as well. So they planned even back then that they would do these upgrades, although they didn't know at that point in time how they would actually do them. Some of the technologies didn't exist. But they knew that as they went along, they would need to keep ramping up particle intensity and energy. And so this is the third run that they're going to do. There's a lot of excitement about it.
We're talking with the Science Journal Nature physics reporter Elizabeth Gibney. Also with us, Caltech professor of physics Harvey Newman. He's one of the co-leaders of the Caltech team at CERN, which consists of experts in everything from particle collision detector data analysis to how new phenomena might manifest at the LHC. Professor Newman, thank you very much. I understand you were in Geneva at CERN just last week.
That's right. I was there for the CMS week and also for the great seminar celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Higgs boson discovery, and also the big event on the 5th, which had to do with the official start of run 3, the third run of the collider that Elizabeth also referred to, which will go from now to the end of 2025.
And share with us some of the other experiments that are new, that are going to be part of the upgraded collider.
Well, I mean, this is a continuing search. So the point is that as we go on and collect more data and also have done what I think is great work in expanding our reach in terms of more sophisticated algorithms and techniques for extracting any emerging new signals from the backgrounds, that what we're doing as we proceed through run three would be to extend our reach, especially for rare things. And I think, as Elizabeth summarized, there are many questions out there, but not only general questions, but also there's a deep understanding that the standard model for all its successes is incomplete. And there is a more fundamental theory out there, and we just have to find it. One of the interesting things that happened so far is our simplest ideas and biases about what is the more fundamental theory turn out not to be what nature has chosen, or at least not in the simple forms we propose.
Well, in the life that thus far of the collider, what have been the most important discoveries?
We've seen more and more the properties of particle physics in a new energy range. We've made precision measurements not only of the Higgs boson and increasingly all of its properties, but also have made precision measurements of various other processes which are provoked, rare things that happen when the protons collide. And what we really are colliding, of course, is the constituents of the protons, the quarks and gluons that are inside the protons. And we've come to measure certain things extremely precisely, such as the mass of the top quark, the heaviest quark that we know in nature. And we also have come to understand that the fundamental interactions are following this structure, the so-called unified electroweak theory, and been able to measure that precisely and focus in on what's happening there.
Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So there is this dual branch. I mean, more and more precise measurements, increasing our reach for really rare processes where new things can appear. And if you understand how these searches go for the rarest things, it's not just a sort of statistical increase according to the amount of data, but it brings within reach new things that perhaps we have not just seen before. And one of the most exciting things is that, having ruled out our simplest ideas of what lies beyond the standard model, we're assured that when we discover something, it will be all that much more exciting in terms of revolutionizing the way we think about not only particle physics, but the universe as a whole.
What is the likelihood of finding dark matter particles? That search has been underway for more than a decade with the LHC. And, you know, what are the prospects for finding that?
Well, of course, we observe dark matter and its macroscopic effects in terms of gravitation all the time. But in terms of the particles which make up dark matter, what has happened so far has really opened our eyes quite a bit. So at the LHC, we can search with increasing, ability for dark matter particles. Also, if they're very heavy, extend our reach outward towards those. But also, it made us realize that we need to search much more widely. So there are other experiments other than the LHC, which are searching for very light, very low mass dark matter particles, which could be what nature is doing. But as I mentioned, we don't know that yet.
We're talking with Caltech physicist Harvey Newman, one of the co-leaders of the Caltech team at CERN, which brings together experts from a variety of different disciplines. And that, too, is a quite remarkable aspect of this, isn't it, Professor, that you have all these people from different disciplines and from all these different institutions collaborating?
Yes, I think one of the great achievements of this scientific program, apart from the science itself, is to bring together groups located throughout the world, scientists, engineers, students, technologists, to harness multiple technologies and also think creatively about how to maximize our ability to explore for new things. Bringing them together in a worldwide collaboration which works so well. And in fact, I think nowhere else you see these kind of societal structures, which are very surprising. I mean, it is true that we have spokespeople and we have an internal management structure, but it is to a large extent mainly volunteerism. And without strict lines of authority, we come together, cooperate, share a common mission, which, by the way, is also unique in its span, going more than years, but over decades, sharing this mission and in the end succeeding. And I'd also like to mention that complementing the efforts by the scientific collaborations who built the experiments are the accelerator physicists, the teams, not only who are from CERN, but also there are also collaborating institutions there, and making this magnificent machine, which in spite of its extremely ambitious design, is performing better than anyone ever expected, both in terms of its level of performance and its reliability and reproducibility. And it makes you think about what human beings can achieve when they work together.
Professor, thank you for being with us and talking about the importance of the restarting of the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva, which started yesterday. This after being down for 3 years of maintenance and upgrades. Our thanks to Caltech Professor of Physics Harvey Newman and physics reporter for the journal Nature Elizabeth Gibney. Coming up on Air Talk, right after a very brief break, we look at the evolution of the shopping mall and shopping center, which had its roots here in Southern California because of our car-centric economy. Just as you had walkable main streets in so many smaller cities of America, the place where people did their shopping, it was really the suburban nature of Southern California, the freeways connecting communities, that the shopping center really came into its own. That, of course, has evolved over the years as more people have moved to online shopping and seeking different kinds of experiences than shopping indoors in a box. We'll talk about that and hear from listeners their favorite shopping center experiences over the years when we come back in 90 seconds.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.